What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. And we welcome our colleague, Matt Pottinger, former U.S. Deputy National Security Advisor, as well as the Senior Director for Asia at the National Security Council. Now he's at several think tanks, Hoover among them, FTD among them, and writing most recently at Foreign Affairs with Congressman Mike Gallagher, looking at China, the People's Republic of China, the threat of the People's Republic of China. Asking this question in the headline, America's competition with China must be won, not managed. Matt, a very good evening to you. It's a pleasure to speak. Please define for us at the national security level what it means to manage a competition as opposed to contesting a competition. Good evening to you.
John, it's great to be with you and with Gordon. The phrase managing competition is the phrase that the Biden administration has recently been using to describe its policy towards China, with an emphasis on managing. What Mike Gallagher and I argue in our piece is that we should be aiming to win the competition, not to merely manage it. And that's because we think that managing competition, which is really a rehash of the failed detente policies of the 1970s that a few U.S. administrations pursued against the Soviets at a time when the Soviets perceived us as weak because we had just lost the Vietnam War, when our own government, I think, perceived us as in a weaker position as a result of that and as a result of the protest movement in the United States at the time. And so we pursued a detente policy that was designed to sort of try to cooperate with the Soviet Union in certain areas, notably arms control, which was a laudable goal, something that we thought the Soviets would benefit from as well as ourselves and the rest of the world. But what we ended up doing was ignoring, in essence, or siloing the things that the Soviet Union were doing that were profoundly damaging to our interests and the interests of our allies. And people forget that in the 1970s, the situation was very similar vis-a-vis the Soviets as the moment we're experiencing right now. The Soviets back in the 70s, their economy was actually growing as oil prices rose. Their economy probably peaked at around in the mid-70s. At 57% of U.S. GDP. That's very close to China's current economy, which I think has peaked, we hope it's peaked, at about 65% of U.S. GDP. And the Soviets were investing heavily in their nuclear arsenal. They overtook the U.S. nuclear arsenal in quantitative terms for the first time. They were investing in their conventional military, much like China's doing today. And much like China today, the Soviets were pursuing wars in proxy wars against us in Africa, in Central Asia. In fact, they invaded Afghanistan flat out in 1979, as well as in our own backyard in Latin America. So China's doing following a very similar strategy to the 1970s Soviet strategy. But unlike the Carter administration, which actually decided under Brzezinski. Remember, Zbigniew Brzezinski was the national security advisor to Carter. He came around to the idea that detente was failing. This old Kissinger Ford administration policy was not working out, and he turned Carter around to pursue a more hardline policy in the final year or so in the Carter administration. And that really set the terms, set the table for the arrival of Reagan, who pursued a very hardline anti-detente strategy and ended up winning the Cold War.
Gordon, you have a question.
Matt, Fareed Zakaria, in one of his CNN monologues and in a Washington Post column, called your proposal dangerous. How do you respond?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. Zakaria rejects the idea that the United States can pursue a Reagan-type Cold War strategy against China, even though China is clearly pursuing a Cold War against us and now pursuing proxy wars in Europe. They're the main supporter, a material supporter for the war in Europe against Ukraine. They're the main supporter of Iran, both militarily, diplomatically, propaganda-wise, and for its proxies, its terrorist proxies in the Middle East. But Zakaria thinks that we can't pursue such a strategy because the Chinese economy is too big and too interwoven into the world economy. And it's also not just a commodities exporter like the Soviets primarily were, but it's also exporting, high-tech goods and so forth. So, you know, I concede that it won't be easy, but I think he overestimates the Chinese economy's leverage over the rest of the world. We actually have leverage if we'll use it, because Beijing's economy under Xi Jinping's vision will fail utterly if he doesn't have outsized access to all of our markets. So this is why I think President Trump's policy of raising tariffs is a good one, tariffs on China, that is. And Biden, even though there was a lot of discussion within his administration, he ran on the idea of repealing those tariffs. He's actually kept them. And President Biden's now talking about raising tariffs on China. I hope he does. President Trump, if he gets reelected, would do the same. That's going to make it very hard for China's economic model to achieve the sort of, you know, 12-cylinder engine that Xi Jinping needs to achieve his global vision of expanding his totalitarian model worldwide.
Matt, you and Mr. Gallagher write that initially the Biden administration followed a good policy of tariffs and especially semiconductor tariffs or blocking semiconductor shipping to China. When did the switch flip?
Yeah, well, look, by the way, you reminded me the Fareed Zakaria's piece and his monologue against our foreign affairs article. We actually have a response to him that's coming out tonight in the Washington Post. So keep an eye out for that. The real moment, John, when the Biden administration shifted from sustaining the Trump era policy, which I think was a good thing. I laud the Biden administration for sustaining Trump's tariffs, for deepening the export controls that we put on China's semiconductor sector. Ironically, the real shift occurred in early 2023, when a bunch of sharp-eyed citizens in the state of Montana noticed a giant white orb flying over them. It turned out to be a Chinese spy balloon that was flying over the United States. The Biden administration had been aware of it and was planning to let it fly over the U.S. without commenting on it. They've said that in part that was to study the balloon, but what it really signaled was this strange moment where the Biden administration, rather than calling out Beijing and pursuing a much more hard-nosed policy, given that we now had a physical manifestation of Beijing's hostility literally flying over our heads, the Biden administration instead pursued a detente strategy, what they called managing competition, and sent five cabinet-level officers to Beijing in what Beijing could only have interpreted as an act of supplication and weakness by the United States. And I think that the intervening months since then have shown that Beijing has contempt for our approach, believes that we don't have the stomach for this competition, and they have doubled down on their proxy wars. Xi Jinping is waging proxy wars against the United States. The most serious one is the massive increase in Chinese material support for Russia's war. That material support began to skyrocket in March of last year, right after the spy balloon incident, and right after Xi Jinping visited Vladimir Putin in the Kremlin, and also after President Biden failed to enforce his red line that he had drawn against other countries providing material support to Russia. What was the worst red line that he allowed to be violated? The Iranians began providing thousands of kamikaze drones to the Russians. By the way, there's a Express, the news organization, The Express in London, reports that they've now recovered on the battlefield in Ukraine Chinese military grade guidance systems in those Iranian kamikaze drones. Those kamikaze drones have just created carnage on the battlefield. They've saturated the air defenses, and the Biden administration did virtually nothing to impose costs on Iran. That told Xi Jinping, I suspect, that the coast was clear for him to provide massive material support for Russia's war in Ukraine. And here we are. We're now seeing a proliferation and intensification of wars around the world, and they all lead back to material, diplomatic, and propaganda support by Beijing.
Matt Pottinger served as U.S. Deputy National Security Advisor, as well as Senior Director for Asia on the National Security Council. He's the co-author and editor of the forthcoming book, The Boiling Moat, Urgent Steps to Defend Taiwan, writing at Foreign Affairs with Representative Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin. Gordon Chang.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.